You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to your daily On The Money Markets update for this Thursday, the 27th of March. I'm Rena Bosch, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. And global equities have been weighed by more tariff talk coming out of the US. President Donald Trump today imposing 25% levies on auto imports into the country, coming into effect on April 3rd. That market slump extending out to Japan, Europe, and even here in Australia as sentiment dragged, the ASX ending the session down 0.4%. For more on that, plus how these trade disputes are impacting global currencies, I spoke with economic futurist Evan Lucas. Evan, global markets have been under an enormous amount of pressure today. That's including the ASX, which is down around 0.5% at the time that we're speaking. What can you tell us?
Look, I think, again, this is showing very clearly that last week and the week before was probably just a dead cat bounce with the chaos that's going out of Washington. I mean, we knew the auto industry tariffs were coming. It was just a question of when and how. I mean, this is going to be like untangling a bowl of spaghetti, because again, already you're hearing from, you know, players even in the US going, does this apply to components manufactured in the US that are then put together to make a car, you know, in Mexico or in Southeast Asia, where the majority of, you know, the questions are coming? You then look back at it, you look at something like Tesla, for instance. Most of the Teslas going into the US are manufactured in Germany or in China. So Elon Musk is also getting smacked between the eyes with this tariff, and explains why Ford, GM fell by over 5% and a bit, why Tesla fell by 5.5%. And it rattled everything, because the global reach of the auto industry is the beacon for globalization. I mean, it's no longer efficient to manufacture every single component of a car in one location. Globalization has shown you that, and it's much more efficient to do it in different parts. The other thing about it that I think is fascinating is that the whole concept of what he's trying to promote here, being the president, is that he can flick a switch, and that the original rust belts in Wisconsin, you know, Michigan, Ohio, can turn their 1950s through 1980s manufacturing hubs back on tomorrow, despite the fact they've been mothballed for several decades and the workforce that was in it has now upskilled or moved or changed. And so that chaos is spreading into markets, and we are not immune to that. The demand there for iron ore to China will change, because we're getting the steel and aluminium tariffs. So the decline today is just another sign that for the next 6 to 8 months, why we, inverted commas, bed down this tariff war scenario, markets are going to be volatile, and rightly so, considering the impact of them won't be seen in the actuals till probably about August, when we start getting second quarter earnings from the US and we get first quarter earnings for us here in Australia.
How about currency markets? So we know, as a general rule, when the NASDAQ or the US stocks fall, that kind of benefits the US dollar. We saw that a little bit today. How are you expecting that to play out in the long run?
Yeah, so again, risk currencies are under pressure. I mean, the Aussie is a good example here. We, at one point, were pushing back towards the upper end of 63 cents to the US dollar. It's back into 62. If you look across the ditch and look at New Zealand, they're under the same pressure. The, you know, US dollar, the Canadian dollar, is the fascinating one, because it's the most, you know, significant impacted currency pair to what's going on. And it's all over the shot, because it's also an oil trade, and what's going on in the oil trade is different, because clearly the presidency wants to bring down the cost of oil and the ability for Americans to use their trucks. The outlook from China is quite clouded as well. So currency at the moment is sitting in this weird sort of scenario where normally you would expect, as you said, flow into the US dollar. You would then see it flow into things like the Swiss franc or anything that's referred to as safe haven, and flow out of everything else. It's happened, but not as probably dramatically as some were expecting. And what it probably is also doing is that it's going to things like gold, and explains why gold's at a record all-time high, that we're sitting at above $3,000 US an ounce. Because gold's probably the only thing that has, and this is a tough way of saying it, some form of inert value. It doesn't actually get pushed around by the chaotic scenario we find ourselves in, where realistically, normally the US economy is the thing that is backed above all else. It's the US economy at the moment that is throwing the cat amongst the pigeons.
On the local front, there is quite a bit happening at the moment. What's catching your eye in corporate news?
So, I mean, at the moment, we're seeing again the discretionary retail space is the one that's under the most amount of pressure, whether it's through a takeover with we've seen with regards to the Reject Shop, or you're seeing more, insolvencies. So we saw Jeans West this week, which is fascinating from the consumer behavior side of it as well. Has been interesting is that we probably saw from pretty much January after Christmas, there has been a bit of a buyer strike. Retail sales has actually shown it's growing in areas of experience. So those that are going on domestic travel is still relatively, well considering where we are in the cost of living cycle, but goods, so apparel materials or anything around, small value items, they are the ones under the most amount of pressure. And you can see that in, what's going on in Lovisa. You can see that it's also going on with the demise of Mosaic, but it's not happening in mid-tier stuff. So you look at what's going on at JB Hi-Fi, or you look at what's going on at Harvey Norman's, that's still going gangbusters, which is fascinating because it again shows that when we buy, we're buying things with perceived value or higher end value than buying high turnover material with lower end value. And apparel versus, computer systems or a TV is a hard one to normally link, but that is clearly what we're doing. And it's that sector that's catching my attention. It is doing things that you would not expect in an environment we currently have.
So with everything that's going on at the moment, where are the opportunities for investors?
I think safety is probably where most people are heading. And normally I would say health, but the catch with that answer is that we know the president might be looking at pharmaceuticals and what happens with, for instance, the PBS. And normally I would say health tends to be immune from risk. It's immune from inflation issues. It doesn't have the cyclicality that materials does. The demand for health is always there because unfortunately people do get sick fairly regularly. It's still the place I would go to. It's just got to be much more selective. I think those that are providing a service are probably more likely to do better. Those that are already behemoths, CSL, are still going to be quite reasonable. The caveat is that, again, what's coming out of the US has thrown everything out of the water, and even safe haven assets have an overlay risk that they normally wouldn't have.
That was economic futurist Evan Lucas.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.